Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint Reach.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, December 18th, 2018, your home for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the news desk. Sarah's joining us. Plus, we'll take a look at the list of biggest developer fails in 2018. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Rumors of a new round of venture capital would cause Niantic, known as the creators of Pokemon Go, to be valued at nearly $4 billion. The company saw a large influx of players over the summer, and investors are looking to capitalize on the mobile game's success.
Wow.
People still putting in on Pokemon Go.
Well, I mean, with
Let's... They own all the data.
With Let's Go coming out, I could see some people getting reinvigorated by it.
Because and bringing in potential new people as well.
Exactly. That's so, fair. You know, I think that there's probably still a lot of life left in that game.
No, I think it's about the data that they got underneath all that stuff, man.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that's sort of like the bigger moneymaker right there, is taking and taking that model that Niantic has developed between Pokemon Go and
Ingress.
Thank you. And taking that and allowing that to be licensed out by other mobile game developers, that's going to be the big moneymaker for them.
Game Workers Unite have officially joined the Independent Workers Union of Great Britain to become the first games workers union in the UK. In a blog post, the new union has stated its focus will be on ending excessive overtime, expanding diversity and inclusion at all levels, and supporting workers who have been abused or harassed.
Well, I first of all, good on the UK. I think that this is an opportune moment to do it because the video game industry worldwide is under heavy fire for the loot boxes kerfuffle. So I think that those inside the industry are uniquely positioned to be able to put some pressure on those companies to be able to make to improve their working environment.
And definitely, you know, we hear, you know, about Game Crunch. We hear about, you know, everything going on with Red Dead and Danhauser and all that
what
type
happened
of stuff.
With Telltale.
Exactly.
So it's really high time for the games developers and games workers to really sort of band together and fight against that.
Robbie, I'm really glad that you had mentioned Telltale, because I think that that is a prime example of why organizations like this really are needed in order to be able to protect some of these workers from a worst case scenario like with Telltale.
Yeah, and I think what we're on is we're about to see the beginning of kind of a new era for video game development. Like, the UK is the first step, but closely behind that, you would assume the United States isn't going to be far on the heels of that.
You would hope.
As Discord continues to ramp up its competition with Steam, their store will open doors to all developers starting in 2019. The platform takes only 10% of the sales versus 12% for Epic Store and 30% for Steam. Theoretically, the competition should be a good thing, although the fragmentation in the short term will likely be annoying.
Oh my god!
My biggest problem here is that I already have, just as an older gamer, I have so many games on Steam as is.
Exactly.
I don't want to start an entire new
library. Go away, Discord.
Discord, I don't think has a shot here. Epic definitely does have a shot to take a dent out of Steam. And I do think that there needs to be some diversity here, right?
I think competition is inherently a good thing.
It is a good thing. Origin wasn't able to do anything, and I think that, you know,
nobody wanted to play those games.
If Epic doesn't take a huge chunk out of Steam, then it really does say, like, listen, we're kind of stuck with Steam. But I do think that Steam needs to do a better job at curating their library.
But we're talking about Discord, a platform that continues to have issues with, you know, the content actually going onto their server. servers. I mean, that doesn't give me a lot of confidence for the content that's going to be put into their store.
That's a very good point. And, you know, for as much as I do like Discord as a chat program, I have some inherent concerns about their ability to follow through on the actual game delivery portion, especially if, like Steam, their servers have to be pinged before you can get into a game. That's going to be hugely problematic because I have seen Discord have massive amounts of downtime before. So they need to get a couple of snags figured out here.
Epic Games has gone after a well-known leaker of Fortnite information, FNBR Leaks. In a post from Twitlonger, the person in question said an Epic Games attorney contacted him and asked him to delete his Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Discord, and GitHub, or they would take legal action. To avoid said legal action, he has complied.
This is really interesting because you would think that this might be someone who works inside the company already.
Based on the leaks, it seems likely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that definitely makes the situation a bit more complicated. However, I do think that there was an opportunity that was missed here that they could have, instead of forcing him legally to take it down, that I think that they could have gotten him in on the promotion and found a better way to resolve this. But that's just my opinion.
One Riot executive, COO Scott Gelb, has been suspended for 2 months without pay and given mandatory training following his part in fostering a sexist environment at Riot. The punishment is being lambasted by former and current Riot employees for not being severe enough.
They have no more benefit of the doubt for me.
No.
Like, the way that they've been handling this, if you actually read like the any of the articles, the way that they sort of phrased putting this out there was that as a COO, he will be held to a higher standard, and they wanted to make what was happening to him public to send a message.
I mean, when you read back some of the accounts of what this guy was actually doing around the office,
I mean, it's frat boy environment doesn't even begin to scratch
the
surface.
It's ridiculous.
If anyone had done what he did to his employees, I would have been consulting a lawyer immediately.
Yeah.
And you know what? The fact that he just got a slap on the wrist, Robbie,
extended vacation. Really.
I'm right there with you. I think that was a really a very poor attempt to try to discipline somebody.
It's a slap in the face.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially for people who keep losing their job after random people on Twitter start piping up about what they have to say about things.
Yeah, I don't see people piping up about this.
No, exactly.
What this says to the rest of the Riot culture is, no, we don't have to change because all we're going to get is a few days off.
Yeah.
As the very long-awaited Kingdom Hearts 3 is getting ready to launch end of January, leaks of game footage and cutscenes have spread online. The director has asked fans to please not spoil the game, especially the ending.
Spoil it. I don't care.
So
spoil it.
Here's the thing.
The game should have came out
a
decade ago. Spoil everything.
Okay. Norris, I'm right there with you. And I have seen pictures of people having full-on physical copies in their hand. That's the degree that this game is a leak.
That's a big leak.
And that's not just someone breaking street date. That's a big deal.
Yeah, no, some guy had, I think it was reported, like 30 copies that he was selling. Ridiculous, man.
But I mean, like, the idea to, like, oh, respect spoilers. Come on, Square Enix. You made people wait 13 years for this game. Stop it.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. We weren't able to get into the alpha for Anthem, but some of our sources were. We've gotten some anonymous quotes to read about the experience of playing Anthem so far.
Right, so obviously these are come to us anonymously, but just some quotes from someone who did play the alpha for Anthem. They said, so Anthem is pretty much vertical Destiny. The mechanics don't feel super off, a bit clunky in their current form. The PC optimization is literal trash, not to mention the PC UI.
It
has potential. Is it going to rip the Destiny Warframe market at all? I don't think so.
This is really problematic because of the similarities to games that have come out to lukewarm receptions already. I don't know if BioWare thinks that they're going to be able to change the landscape that Warframe and Destiny and games like it have been able to carve out, but I don't see it being able to break that barrier or that ceiling that these two games have.
Here's the thing. Who said those were good foundations for games?
Well, I totally agree.
I think Warframe is immensely popular for a reason.
It took Warframe
It's free.
Years
it's free.
First of all, it's free, and it took it years first to get there.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
totally.
Exactly. And so Anthem being at a $60 price point, I think, dude, EA is going to get a huge wake-up call when this releases in February.
This was my biggest fear. Like the whole narrative thing beside, if it would have been a fun game, I could have potentially overlooked that. But if it is actually just Destiny, I played that game for a week and was having none of it.
Listen, there. In addition to our anonymous sources here, I've also talked to people in person throughout, you know, that have been involved in following the game throughout the year. And you guys know me. I do not like to lambast games that I haven't played. I don't like doing it. There's nothing positive about this game that I've seen, not from a gameplay standpoint, not from a narrative standpoint, not from a development standpoint, nothing. This is early alpha, and this game is supposed to come out in a month and a half.
I'm just saying that the hype on this game is deafening. There's none of it. The silence around it is just deafening. It's like a void. It's like a hype void. Any hype that you would have had towards this game, the minute that they start, it's a fun vacuum. They start showing off footage, and you go, "Oh God, this just looks like everything else that's been coming out for 4 years."
It is a mech robot. Singularity. It is every trope that you hate about this genre all thrown into one game.
Yeah. So our anonymous source concluded by saying, grain of salt with everything I've said. The forums are stating that everything from the game except the tutorials, first mission, and free play were stripped out for the alpha, which is just testing stability. Overall, I'd feel a lot better if this game was coming out in 4 to 6 months.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited or nervous for Anthem? Do you even care at this point? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll take a look at a list of developer fails in 2018, which means that we'll probably end up arguing about Fallout. So that discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
It might be a match made in heaven, but it's worth $100 million.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank listeners on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll take a look at the list of top developer fails in 2018. How many of your favorite game developers made the list? We'll tell you coming up in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an eSports gaming update.
With Sarah Skopic.
Intel and ESL have decided to strike a deal with a $100 million partnership that will extend till 2021. For now, of course. Intel will use this deal to not only provide their tech behind the scenes, but to also test future prototypes. Out of this deal, Intel will also have its own sponsored esports tournament.
Yeah, so Intel and ESL, they've worked together now for quite a while, but $100 million, that's a lot of cheddar.
Can we have some of it?
But like a percentage?
$100 million is really nothing to turn your nose up at. That's one of the largest pools in all of esports.
In terms of an injection of raw cash.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, this is also like the Intel Grand Slam. Like when you think of like cool tournament ideas like that, this is where that sort of thing can happen.
Yeah, exactly. And the Grand Slam was really fun. I mean, I thought that was a really great idea.
Man, that someone won it in the first year.
I know. Oh, that's insane.
Right.
So, it turns out Soulja Boy doesn't want to just create his own handheld.
No.
Oh, God.
He wants to go into esports, too.
What?
Soulja Boy, no.
Soulja Boy has announced that he would like to create his own esports organization. No. He wants to create a team for Fortnite, Call of Duty, Overwatch, Counter-Strike, along with some others.
What? What? What is happening right now? That is bizarre.
This is so weird.
Is there a gas leak in here?
I don't know, man.
Okay, now, is it? Because we've seen a lot of stars and whatnot actually put some money into esports and, like, you know, get behind a team. So it's not that
What
weird.
Money will Soulja Boy put into an esports organization?
I'm not familiar with his financials.
I mean, he's had, like, 3 hits ever?
Ever.
Yeah.
He had a good year.
He had a good, yeah. He, you know what? You know what he did?
He's maybe
most,
he's invested soundly.
He's most famous for trolling Ice-T and calling him an old man. That's pretty much it. That's it. So I would love to know where he's getting the startup capital to start an esports team. You know what this is?
Maybe
this
from
is
his handheld.
This, you know, do you remember when Kanye pitched the bevy of ideas to people and it was just the most incomprehensible stuff ever? That's what
That's
this
what
is.
That's what this is.
Well, yep. What's Soulja Boy's team be named?
The Soulja's.
You mean not?
Stop it.
The Soulja Squad?
Stop it.
I have no idea, but something terrible.
In an unexpected upset, Team Spirit has won the I Can't Believe It's Not Summit. They managed to best... That's what it's called.
Okay.
There's no butter in that, I guess. They managed to best top team No Pangolier. This was the first time No Pangolier lost an entire series since this summit started.
That is... I'm going to go ahead and say that's maybe the best name for a tournament there's ever been.
Yeah. I Can't Believe It's Not Summit?
Yeah.
I mean, it is pretty...
It's pretty good.
Pretty hilarious.
I mean, I've heard CS Summit. Usually things like the Summit 2017,
sure.
2018. I Can't Believe It's Not Summit. It's hysterical.
I will give you that.
As the final international CSGO event of the year comes to a close, Astralis once again comes out on top at the Blast Pro Series Lisbon. During the whole championship, they only lost one map to Natus Vincere. This victory is Astralis' 10th successful title run of the year.
Listen. This is the best esports team of the year, period.
They're the best. No, I'm obviously, yes. No, that's...
Are you the best if you're only
that.
Dominating one video game that nobody cares about?
No, that now we're talking about an organization. Two different things.
I'm just saying.
Nate, I'd like to bring up something that you actually said a few shows ago. With Astralis being this dominant, at this point, I do have to question... What other teams are actually playing?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else in this game that can actually play?
Counter-Strike is really boring to watch these days because it's a foregone conclusion that Astralis is going to run away with it.
Yeah.
Not just win, they're not even losing.
No. Yeah, exactly.
They're not even like tying for like losing maps.
Again, parity is something that we've talked a lot about here on this very show, and I think that this shows a strong lack of parity, and I mean, honestly, I think that this team is going to need to be broken up. Like,
You can't do that. I don't think you can realistically break up a team that way. If you do that, then your league loses credibility.
What do you reasonably do to curb this? Because I'll tell you what, Counter-Strike is nowhere on my list of things to watch, and it was last year.
I mean, I don't disagree. You've got a super team put together. The only time you see this happen in traditional sports, it's sports that don't have a salary cap involved.
It happened in NFL. The Patriots.
But listen, how much more relevance does Counter-Strike have left in it? Very little, unless they put out a new version of the game. So what is this just going to be its legacy? Is this how Counter-Strike GO rides off into the sunset with Astralis just winning everything for 4 years?
It could be possible.
I hate that.
League of Legends is set to be featured in a new documentary series produced by Netflix. The series, titled 7 Days Out, focuses on specific major events in the week leading up to it. Episodes will feature on things like the Westminster Dog Show, the Kentucky Derby, and NASA's Cassini mission. One such episode will be on the week leading up to the finals of the NALCS in Miami after the spring split in 2018.
I will probably end up checking this out. Like, at least the 2 episodes about League of Legends and the Cassini mission.
Why not the Derby, man?
Really?
I mean,
you don't want to see all them bougie people drinking mint juleps
only if Fred Willard is doing the voiceover for it. If Fred Willard is doing the narration, I'll watch it.
You know, what's really great about this, though, is this is the beginning. When something like this is successful, when people start raving about this, what comes next isn't just 1 or 2 episodes in a series. We start to get entire projects dedicated to things
well,
like this.
Well, I think just simply the inclusion alongside something like the Westminster Dog Show.
Yeah. I think, rough as it may be.
That I think is very cool. Like, I think that shows
the evolution
of esports overall.
Stop.
But I'm not going to sit around and watch anything about the Westminster Dog Show.
No. There's no way we're letting Robbie get away with that one. you miss that?
I must have.
He says, yeah, even if it is a Westminster dog show, even if it's a little rough.
Oh, no. Oh. You didn't.
I did. I thought you just weren't going to give me the satisfaction. Thank you, Norris.
I just steamrolled it because I've stopped paying attention to the dumb things that he says.
God, you're such an idiot.
The divide in the Fortnite community was on full display for the North American Winter Royale. Epic's insistence on live events happening in the current patch created a weird situation where the meta shifted within hours of the beginning of the tournament. Players who qualified before Season 7 dropped were suddenly met with a new meta as the Infinity Blade arrived on the scene and dominated play. It sparked a debate about fairness of play versus interest in stale metas.
And you want people to take this game seriously as an esport?
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Epic really has... listen, they've got a whole bunch of problems with a whole ton of people suing them, but their esport scene is going to only stay in this primordial state as long as they let it. Right? Like, it would be able to congeal and solidify if they were able to figure out what they wanted to do. And this is part of the, you know, like, the fact that Fortnite is so sandboxy is cool from a gameplay perspective, yeah. But it makes it really difficult to figure out what you need to do
to get
it established as an esport.
There has to be some rigidity if you want it to be a viable esport. There have to be locked in rules that don't change.
Thoroughly agree.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. By now, almost everyone has heard about the explosive growth in the esports market. Financial watchers are now predicting a market correction in the future, which can certainly sound a little scary.
Yeah, this is something that we've been seeing people talk about all week, is this idea that the market is going to start correcting itself. Like, there's been too much investment without enough, like, growth in viewership. Now, to be clear, no one's talking about like a bubble situation or anything like that. That would be irresponsible to say. In fact, most people are saying that esports has succeeded in establishing itself in kind of the long-term mindset. It's gotten to that point now.
But
we are seeing is too much growth in maybe titles and areas of esports that don't need it. We're actually going to be talking about it a little later in the show today.
We've actually talked about this quite a bit on the show. If you're a longtime listener, you know all about it. Not everything needs to be an esport.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is both a push from companies that want to get into the space and a push from companies that see an opportunity to get their game involved with esports and are licking their chops at that opportunity. Not all of those opportunities are going to end up panning out. But for the big guys, the ones that really do have a genuine interest established in their video game or their esport, I think are doing very well and are sitting in well poised for a great 2019.
Well, not just that. Market corrections also come in the forms of shuttering some departments that aren't making money like you thought they would, in the same way that Blizzard has done with Heroes of the Storm.
Exactly.
So people were really upset with the way that was handled, but in my view, there's no way that Blizzard can continue to handle virtually every game it has out as an esport. It's not sustainable.
No, that's a very good point. I mean, you know, that's sort of the idea, is that you're going to have to clear way and make space for new things to be able to come in and become popular. And we know that the turnover rate for esports scenes is very quick. So, you know, I think that having this notion that there is going to be a little bit of churn in the next 2 or 3 years is going to have to be something that we all are going to have to start getting comfortable with. And yes, people are going to lose jobs and it's going to be very painful. But in the end, to avoid the bubble situation,
right,
that's what's going to have to happen. But listen, we want to hear from you. Are any of the games you love at risk? Why would they be at risk? Connect with us. Let us know on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll run down a list of top video game developer fails from 2018. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
A Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you're following us at our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. And there's only one place to get them. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. 2018 has been a landmark year for esports, a tremendous year for great games, and memorable for more than a few developer fails. Well, we've got a list from Screen Rant of what they call the top video game developer fails of 2018.
All right, I'm going to kind of be the arbiter of this and deliver these to you guys and get your thoughts on them. Number one, Blizzard's Diablo Immortal announcement.
All right, okay, no.
First of all, I do want to point out real quick, this isn't necessarily games that flopped. This is just developer bonehead moments.
Yes, yeah. All right, listen.
As someone who was there, who was actually there at BlizzCon.
Everybody shut up, okay? Here's the thing.
This was a fandom fail.
This was a fandom fail. This was not the developer. Now, the only thing I'll say that was boneheaded was making that the last announcement. Other than that, the decision to put Diablo on the mobile platform intelligent AF.
Yeah. No, totally. I think I agree with you. I think their decision of how to place it in the show, you could have done better. But overall, no. The game itself, I'm excited for.
Yeah, it played well. I got my hands on it.
And I think that the community reaction, the fan reaction to it, made the fans look much more bad than Blizzard did.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, but Blizzard fans, you look like petulant children.
All right, here's a good one. PUBG Corporation's legal fight. You remember when they tried to sue Epic Games?
I do.
I had forgotten about this.
That was really dumb.
I mean, to be fair, they were just ahead of their time, right? Like now it's trendy.
I was about to say, now it's a fad. Now it's in vogue.
You know what? We're going to see PUBG reemerge with a vape and a trilby, and they're going to be like, I was suing Epic before it was cool, man.
What if they announced another lawsuit now?
Oh, please.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
I mean, I don't like the wagons are circling around Epic, and I'm not sure how they get to the other side of this. I really don't.
All right. EA promises and fails to deliver with loot boxes.
This is more egregious than I think anyone even really realized.
And I don't even know if you could put that on the devs. Like, we've known for a while now that there's pressure from the top, from the publisher, to incorporate loot boxes into the game you're already doing. Now, don't get me wrong. Battlefront, we all know about that, right?
Yeah, right.
But, you know, when it comes to the other IPs and the other games,
FIFA is no exception.
Exactly. So, this is more of like just EA. They should just say EA.
Yeah. Well, and they did. They said EA.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know what? That's the thing, though, is that I think EA is probably going to end up making the list every year.
Dude, EA spawned the biggest talking point of 2018
and made governments get involved with video games for the first time in nigh on 15 years.
Yeah, you might even say the biggest talking point in gaming of the decade.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. Rockstar Games with their crunch time issues.
See, okay, you can't necessarily call it a bonehead move when the entire industry
can't put this on Rockstar.
Yeah, I think good on Dan Houser for actually coming out and talking about this, because I do think that this is a subject that is worth talking about. Crunch time is real. It affects almost every video game developer, and it's is in some people's mind necessary to be able to meet the expectations of gamers.
Yes.
And I see where they're coming from. I understand that, because we are a fickle bunch. We will circle the wagons and gang up. Look at Fallout 76, man.
Oh, we're going to be talking about that in a bit.
I had a feeling we would.
Don't you worry. We'll be talking about that. But you're right. No, it is kind of a... The decision has to be made at some time. Is it going to be acceptable for a developer to say, sorry, we're pushing the game back a year because it's not done?
If when it comes out, it's good, yes.
Yeah.
If when it comes out, okay, Final Fantasy 15 or Kingdom Hearts 3,
there you go.
By the way, you're listening to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. We're currently going through the list of top 2018 video game developer fails and putting our own little take on it.
The PlayStation Classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am 100% with this one. Not only was this a bad, bad throwback console, but the fact that you could just very easily hack it and find all of the games that should have been on there, that's infuriating.
And even worse, that it's just basically running a run-of-the-mill, you know, PSX emulator that you could have just went out and got yourself.
Exactly.
Warner Brothers with their Shadow of War and their awful apology for the way the loot boxes undermined that game.
Now,
yeah,
I'm going to need a little bit of refresher because I don't remember anything about Shadow of War. So I checked Shadow out on that War, very
so
early.
Shadow of War was one of the games that you said unequivocally because they added loot boxes in as sort of an afterthought that you wouldn't be boycotting it and not buying it.
Oh, well, then this makes sense. That's why I don't remember it.
It makes sense.
Well, Monolith eventually came out and said, you know what, after looking at it, we feel like loot boxes have undermined the quality of the game, and everyone went, yes,
What was interesting about those loot boxes too is they didn't really give you the like an actual gameplay advantage, because what they were giving you was usually less wasn't worth as much as actually playing the game, so it literally just made it so that you didn't play it as long.
Yeah, that sucks.
Konami releases Metal Gear Survive.
I heard that was pretty decent.
For what they built, it was a functional game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think that it lived up to having the Metal Gear name. They should have put any other name on this other than Metal Gear.
They could have still used the Fox engine. That's the thing. They own the engine.
Yeah, exactly.
So they could have used it.
You know what that
whatever is?
They were too lazy to redesign assets, and they were like, we'll just use the Fox logos because we can own that,
and just
too.
Put it in the Afghanistan map of Metal Gear.
What a lazy, lazy developer. I hate Konami.
Valve's curation of Steam.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, have they ever done that right, though?
I mean, honestly, this has led to both Discord and Epic trying to take a chunk out of their business, and I do think that there need to be more outlets for people to be able to put their games, but the fact that Steam and Valve wouldn't come in and curate some of the crap that was on there is just inexcusable, especially when you see how bad it is.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say two things to you guys. E3 2018... Square Enix. Maybe the worst.
Yes.
I can't
E3
even remember
presentation.
It. I've blocked it out.
That's the point.
Yeah.
We had Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yep.
And the Quiet
Man.
The Quiet Man.
We had Uber Eats.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Now it's
Just
all
Cause
coming
4.
It's all coming back to me, and none of it's good.
All right. And finally, of course, Bethesda and Fallout 76.
This is not fair. You cannot chalk up a internet hit job to the developer. Now, there are plenty of bugs.
The game is a mess, though.
I'm not saying the game's not a mess and doesn't need work, but Bethesda, from the word go, said, we're going to be developing this together. This is an experiment. This is not Fallout 5, and don't expect it to be Fallout 5. And that's what people did again and again. They either expected it to be Fallout, and then when they got it, they were like, it's not enough Fallout.
They expected it to work.
A real open beta for a month longer would have went a long
way. I don't disagree with that, but there was so much smoke around the nylon bags and canvas bags. There's even now even more smoke being thrown out about the possibility of loot boxes being included in that game, of which there is no evidence.
To be fair, they are facing a class action lawsuit for leaking the personal information. For leaking personal information of everyone who made a complaint.
That's
a problem.
That's a bigger bungle than anything else.
I do agree with that. Listen, that's all the time that we have for this. We want to hear from you. Do you agree with this list? Can you think of a developer fail that deserves to be on here that didn't make it? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, that's checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. By the way, this very show, Checkpoint XP Daily, is now available on iTunes. So make sure you go and subscribe. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp to catch us live. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the news desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.